You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Second half, the show is live and underway. Lane Kiffin joined us early in the program. We've also talked to Andrea Adelson and Andy Staples. A number of other guests will be joining us shortly. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Kevin in Fort Worth. Hey, Kevin, go right ahead. Kevin, Hello? You there? Yeah, go right ahead, Kevin.
This is Keith in Fort Worth.
Keith, my apologies. I misread the name. So go right. I've given you a new name, but now I'm taking
That's
it back.
All right. I got a brother named Kevin. I thought maybe he's on the other line.
You are now Keith.
Anyway, I just wanted to check on you, Paul, see if you're getting ready for a big turkey day, and I had two quick points about Tennessee football.
Yeah, I can't wait for Thursday. It's always one of the great days of the year. This year may be a little different, but what are your thoughts on Tennessee football?
Well, the first one is the two biggest lies I heard in October was Tennessee had the best offensive line in the SEC and probably the country. I was just short for second place behind Biden saying he wasn't going to raise everybody's taxes. And the second one is I hear these Tennessee people calling in about the this overwhelming history of Tennessee football. You know, they sound like the Texas fans and the USC fans and the Nebraska fans. I think they need to get a grip on where they are as a program. I mean, I don't see them winning with Jeremy Pruitt. It's been a long time since they have won consistently and been in the mix. And I don't think Phil Fulmer, the great pumpkin, is going to rise out of the pumpkin patch and deliver the savior for them. I don't know why these Tennessee fans think they're entitled to some big-name head coach that's going to come in and turn everything around.
Keith, sometimes you do have to be aware and honest about who you are, and Tennessee has been struggling with that for some time. Ricky is up next. How are you, Ricky?
I'm good, Paul. Like Mike Leach, he kind of showed a little improvement last week. That's just what I want to see. I just want to see them do something, man. Just, you know, having some improvement. And those freshmen was kind of impressive on that Georgia great defense that they're supposed to have. I'm thoroughly impressed. But
yeah, it was a surprise.
I think the SEC, you know, if you want to win, you got to run the football, and you got to keep, you know, defense is honest, and I like a scheme, but I mean, I don't like one dimensional type, you know, offenses. I think you gotta have balance. I just believe that, you know. But hey, they show some improvement, and that's all I want to see. Just show me that you're learning something, and you're getting at least a grasp of the offense, and you're making some improvements. And I finally saw it. I was impressed by Mike. I kind of see what he's trying to do, but I'm just cautiously optimistic.
Well, Ricky, I'm glad to hear that, and it's been a while since I heard some optimism from that side. Hey, good to hear from you. Stuart is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Paul, I got three questions for you. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm right here, Stuart.
Okay. Three questions. How you think Florida and Alabama match up? The second question is how the NCAA and other conferences, their protocols, how they regulate who can play and who can't play. You would think that that they would control some of the decisions there, other than the two schools trying to, you know, go at it. They would have some kind of policies in line. And
yeah, you know, you raise a good point there. I was stunned by what I heard from Andrew Adelson that the ACC did not intervene and try to mediate the dispute Saturday morning between FSU and Clemson. They didn't. So you're asking about the NCAA. They have nothing to do with it. These are all conference dictated protocols. Every conference has a different protocol. It's crazy as that sounds, but that's how we got to where we are right now, where you had three of the Power Five started the season within a reasonable amount of time of each other, and then the Big Ten and the Pac-12 shut down. But it is different everywhere you go. The real issue is about to become college basketball, which starts Wednesday, and already countless games have been postponed or probably canceled, because you can't make up these games. And, you know, there are some concerns that the college basketball season should punt on the non-conference games and just get right to conference play and then and play the tournament. But, I mean, already in the SEC, we have Ole Miss pausing. They're going to miss a couple of games. Florida, you have today it was announced Rick Barnes has tested positive, and they're going to miss the first game or two. So, you know, Duke, I mean, there are countless number of schools that are having problems because everybody's traveling right now at the worst possible time with things getting out of control. So, yeah, it's ultimately a conference dictated set of rules and protocol. Thank you for the call. I really do appreciate it. Let's check in with Wayne up next. Hey, Wayne, go right ahead.
Hello, are you there, Paul?
I sure am. Thank you.
Okay, I can barely hear you, but anyway, I've always been a big Mark Stoops fan, and everything. But I've got some questions about what happened there in the Alabama game. We were inside the red zone three times. And we're playing the number one team in the country, and we're down by what? Every time they tried field goals instead of trying to make it on fourth down. Then the biggest question I have, Paul, and I'd like you to answer this for me: why, if you've got the ball on the 7-yard line, 3rd and 1? Would you take a penalty and make it 2nd and 10 from the 17? Is that what happened? I'm a little confused about that, but did that not happen during the game against Alabama?
I believe it did.
Okay. Well, what about you, Paul? If you was coaching, would you have tried to went for it on 3rd and 1, or would you have took the penalty and went for 2nd and 10?
Yeah. Let me look at the bigger picture here. I think this has been a difficult year for Kentucky, and we know part of the problem was caused by the internal issues and the death of a beloved coach. But I still think it's been a very difficult year to watch. A lot of mistakes have been made, a lot of questionable calls by Mark Stoops. And really the only bright shining moment was the complete and total evisceration of Tennessee. And since then, I haven't seen much that impresses me or anyone else. Hey, thank you for the call. Really nice to have you on. Frank is up next in Queens. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Paul. How are you? I hope you have a nice holiday.
Thank you.
You've been kind of waxing poetic about Hugh Freeze over the last week or two, saying,
giving him absolution almost, right? Giving him total carte blanche, and he's paid his penalty and paid his punishment. What this guy did was horrific. This guy had 9 level 1 infractions, including calling an escort service. Now, my question is, how come you don't give the same what you think about him being the same absolution to Rick Pitino?
Well, first of all, I'm not really interested in Rick Pitino's career any longer at Iona. He's got a job, and good for him. We're talking about Hugh Freeze.
Well, a couple of years ago when it was going down, you had a lot to say.
Well, I did.
You had a ton to say when it was going down a couple of years
ago.
And by
the way, Frank, I also had a lot to say about Hugh Freeze when he went down.
But the thing is, you're saying this guy has paid his penalty. You're giving him absolution. Give him everything.
Well, Frank, hold on a second. Frank, hey, I'm a talk show host. I'm not a priest, okay? I give opinions. I don't do communion. I don't give absolution. I'm just a normal guy like you are. So I gave an opinion on Hugh Freeze. I think he made some terrible mistakes. I've said that constantly. But I also believe that he has proven in his second go around to be a spectacularly good coach. I mean, he came within a missed field goal Saturday, a blocked field goal of beating 3 ACC schools this year, which to me is an indicator of what he can do with less. So,
Listen, I'm not talking about his coaching ability. Everyone knows he's a great coach and a great offensive
okay.
mind. I'm talking about his character. Because character seems like, first of all, there probably is no character in Liberty University. We found that over the last couple of months.
Hey,
right?
Frank, hold on a second, okay? I'm not going to defend Jerry Falwell Jr. I don't know him. I don't know anything about him. I've read the stories like you have. But, yeah, you know, I'm not sure I would just completely just attack a university, which is a Christian-based university, just because the founder, not the founder, but the founder's son has gone off the deep end. I mean, there's still a lot of good people there. I guess not in your mind.
I'm not saying there's not. Paul, I'm a Catholic. I went to a Catholic college. Okay. I try to be the best Catholic I can do. But the thing is, I don't go around saying I'm the greatest, I'm this, follow me, follow Christ. And that's exactly what the people at Liberty University do. Have a great day.
Okay. You know what? That's the one thing that you said that I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to have a great day. We will take a break. Let's head to the break. A lot to do. We'll talk about JT Daniels and whether he will be the answer at Georgia. Whatever the question is, we'll find out when we talk to Connor Riley. He is up next.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome welcome you back. And we have promised we were going to talk about JT Daniels. I think we showed you a headline here earlier that pretty well says it all. From Dog Nation, social media thrilled with JT Daniels' performance, but ponders why Kirby Smart didn't play him sooner. Let's welcome in the author of that article. Connor, thank you for being with us. First of all, let's talk about the good news first, the fact that he played well. For those who missed the game, and it was not exactly the featured game of the day, how did he play?
I thought he was fantastic. 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. He's the first Georgia quarterback to do that since 2013. For a program that has had lingering questions about this, going back even past through the 2019 season, to have a performance like this, especially when they couldn't run the ball at all, this was their worst rushing performance since 1996, with just 8 total yards. If JT Daniels doesn't play the way he does, I think it's pretty fair to say that Georgia probably loses to a Mississippi State team that was not that highly thought of coming into Saturday.
You know, we're talking to Connor Riley, and Lane Kiffin alluded to that as well, which is just a shocking statement, is it not, that that we ended up getting to this point. So for those who have not followed the vagaries, Connor, of JT Daniels, do we know what the holdup was with him in terms of clearance?
Yeah, so his dad came out and made some comments today. You can read them at Dog Nation, where he wasn't 100% ready to go in August and even September. And we know he wasn't clear to play in that Arkansas game. But Kirby Smart came out right before the Auburn game, Georgia's second game of the season, and said JT Daniels is physically cleared to play in football games. And the reality is that was Georgia's second game of the year, and we didn't end up seeing him until the seventh game. We know he took that knee brace off prior to the Tennessee game and in practices and warm-ups. But for whatever reason, we didn't see him. It may have been an issue of how comfortable he was in his knee and the level of mobility that Kirby Smart was looking for. That's something he's referenced many times. But based off what we saw on Saturday, that mobility was there, the ability to make plays. And really, I think the biggest question, at least Georgia fans and people who follow the program are asking, are how close was JT Daniels to what we saw on Saturday back on November 7th when Georgia played Florida? Because if Daniels plays like he did on Saturday against Florida, there's a real chance that Georgia finds a way to at least make that game closer and possibly even win it.
That's just really amazing to think about how different this Georgia season is. And while they're having a better season than most, two losses have effectively knocked them out. And Georgia was expecting to be in Atlanta at the end of the year and not watching on television or playing in another game. Just give us your read on the energy that has now maybe been brought back to a program that was seemingly dead in the aftermath of the Florida game. I mean, it was a fall. It was a mighty big fall from grace. Do you think this is going to keep people energized?
I think if JT Daniels keeps playing the way he does, it is going to keep people interested and tuned in for the rest of the season. Because you point out, this is a Georgia program where going, I guess, 8-2 this year in a berth in the Peach Bowl, that doesn't do it for them. There was a lot of negative energy around this program after losing to Florida. So for Daniels to come out, look good, look like a possible, at least certainly this season and potentially even long-term solution at the quarterback position there for Georgia, I think that's huge. If he plays well again against South Carolina and finishes the season out strong, I do think that it can build a lot of momentum towards that 2021 season when a lot of these skill players that played really well on Saturday night also come back for this Georgia team.
I know you talk to a lot of Georgia fans and interact with them, and I know what you've said, and I know that this is hope, and you need hope after a slog through a difficult year. But how tough do you think it is going to be from this moment on, watching the Gators possibly see a Heisman winner in Kyle Trask play Alabama, and who knows what happens there? But the Gators, at least for now, have seemingly passed the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I don't think you can deny that this season based on what you saw on the field. Now, long-term trajectory of these two programs, we'll see. But having a really good quarterback like Florida does with Kyle Trask, as we've seen, makes up for a lot of the other perceived issues that Florida happens to have. So if Georgia is able to make JT Daniels into that guy, into that difference-making quarterback, where against Alabama, frankly, the other program that we so often measure Georgia against, if Georgia is able to do that and get the most out of him there, I do think that that is going to help, certainly throughout this offseason, alleviate some of the concerns of what is the sort of direction of this program. Because if Daniels wasn't the answer, that just leaves you sort of scratching your head more with Kirby Smart and what has happened in this 2020 season for Georgia.
Connor, let me get a thought from you, and I realize we'll talk about little else here for the next 3 weeks leading up to the obviously leading up to the Alabama-Florida game. But you've seen both these clubs against Georgia, which will, you know, you can debate Georgia, Texas A&M among the best competition for Alabama, and obviously Florida has played Georgia and will play Alabama. Is there a way for you to look at Alabama and Florida right now and try to differentiate them?
Yeah, one of the things going back to that game is Alabama could have done whatever it wanted to in the second half. If they wanted to just get out there and score 50, 60 points, I absolutely think they could have. Whereas in the Florida game, yes, they scored 38 points in the second half, in the first half there. But I absolutely believe that Dan Mullen wanted to run the score up that day and score as many points on Georgia, just given the issues he's had with this program in recent seasons. And they really couldn't do that. And getting a chance to watch Alabama just destroy Kentucky this weekend and then see Ohio State struggle. You know how they make those championship commemorative shirts? I think Alabama has 18 national titles. You can go ahead and start making the 19th national title t-shirt with how well this Alabama team has been playing over the course of the season, even going back to that Georgia game.
And Connor Riley, we know that will make you a very popular man in Gainesville, Florida tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Come back soon. Always enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it very much. Wow, fantastic conversation there with Connor Riley, mainly about JT Daniel, and now he is
awesome. Thanks,
giving
guys.
This Georgia program some life. We will take a break. Much more to come right here on a Monday afternoon.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, we welcome you back. Cecil Hurt will join us in the final hour to talk about this weekend's Iron Bowl and Alabama's rather quiet run for yet another national title. We'll talk to him coming up here shortly. Let's check in with Augie in New Orleans. Say hello, Augie. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. And happy Thanksgiving week. What a difference a couple of weeks have made in the future of Georgia. Not so long ago, we were talking about Georgia being in the college football playoff, and now they're celebrating a victory over Mississippi State, which I was really, Daniels had a great performance, but I was appalled at their running game. I mean, is Mississippi State's defense that good? Did you see that?
It has not been until now. I think the praise for Mississippi State and for Georgia is slightly exaggerated for this one game.
I agree. And I think of all things, Isn't it a commentary, though, on Kirby Smart and his ability to manage the quarterback position? I mean, we got Justin Fields, and now we got this issue. I don't know about this one so much, but again, the Justin Fields.
Well, the only thing I'll say, Augie, in fairness to Kirby Smart, JT Daniels was supposed to be ready early on, and you know, I think you had an internal family feud going on there that, you know, Kirby Smart felt like he was ready. The doctors that JT Daniels used back in L.A. did not. So they had to wait, and it ended up probably costing Georgia a big year. Now, let me say this. If JT Daniels had started from day one, would Alabama have lost to Georgia? No. Would Florida have lost to Georgia? No.
No, not if Georgia's defense was that terrible. I mean, let's face it, a freshman quarterback who was playing high school football in Mississippi last year was he was really having his way with that Georgia defense, which was supposed to be a strong point of the team, right?
Well, it was at one point. Some key injuries, and I'm not sure what else have derailed that. But, yeah, I mean, Georgia, unfortunately, has gone from hoping to win the title this year to being fired up after a win against Mississippi State, which has beaten nobody. Well, they beat LSU. I'm sorry.
Well, hey, and speaking of, I'm fired up that we beat Arkansas, which, again, if we played that game five times, we probably lose five straight times. But, hey, all that matters was we won Saturday, and I don't buy any of this officials won the game. We had some bad calls, too. We had some big plays called back. So if there were blown calls, there were blown calls all over the place. But, Paul, I want to ask you, what have you done to the people in New York? I mean, you have Frank, the King of Queens, who was like all over you because you have rehabilitated and gave absolution and communion to Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, I'm going to get my collar out of the closet here and come back and do the Mother Angelica hour. I don't know what's going on. I mean, we've had more calls tonight from New York than we have Alabama.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask you is, what have you done to stir up the people in New York? Ever since the guy who called in looking for the bagels, things have gone off track.
Yeah, no. Apparently, the local shows in New York must be struggling because they're all calling us.
Yeah, well, I mean, that proves there's no college football in New York. So you got to give the folks, you know.
Well, New York really right now.
I'm not sure what they're looking at.
New York doesn't have anything going for it.
Texas A&M was the best team in the SEC, and Alabama was third.
Right.
Trust me, I'm the biggest hater of Alabama football there is, but you got to give the devil his due. There's nobody in the SEC that's going to beat Bama, and I'm not so sure there's anybody in the country that's going to beat them. Of course, they didn't look great against Kentucky in the first half, but who's going to get up for Kentucky? I mean, be real.
Sure. Hey, thanks, Augie. Appreciate the call. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark. Mark, you there? Like we're about to lift off here at Cape Canaveral. John is up next in St. Louis. Hey, John. John, you there?
How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. Happy holidays to you, by the way. Anyway, I think the Missouri-Arkansas game is going to be a very, very competitive game. You know, it's not obviously a top 25 action, but I think there's quite a bit at stake here in terms of personalities and integrity related to obviously Barry Odom. You know, he used to be coach at Missouri and Drink is the new coach at there. So I think it's going to be a tough game. I know I've railed on Barry Odom quite a bit here this year and last year before Missouri terminated him, but I wouldn't be surprised if you know, Barry pulls one here and shuts Missouri down. I think he wants to hang his hat on this game this year. So what's your feedback on
that? Yeah, I would say, I mean, we've seen a couple of these. We saw the Chad Morris game with Auburn, with Arkansas, and that was really decided by an official, not by Chad Morris. But I think this one's pretty personal, and I would expect the Arkansas players to rise up here.
All right, thank you.
Besides that, I think Arkansas has a really good team. Shannon is up next. Hey, Shannon, in Georgia, how are you?
Hey, Paul, how are you doing this afternoon?
We're doing well.
Well, I
just want to respond to your last guest who was talking about JT Daniels and what a great job he did, and how if he would have been starting quarterback against Florida, maybe Georgia beats Florida. And I think, you know, you got to be real careful about getting out over your skis, all these predictions you hear these experts make all the time. You know, the way to beat Georgia has been to stack the box and dare them to throw the ball deep. Fromm couldn't do it. They haven't had any deep threats. And the poor kid Stetson surely couldn't do it. And you know, you watch the game and you realize that Mississippi State just came in and they were pinning their ears back, daring Georgia to throw the ball. And, you know, luckily you had a kid that was able to throw the ball and complete some deep passes. And, you know, I think most of the big scores were on deep throws, you know. But I think if Florida knew that JT Daniels was going to be the quarterback, they would probably prepare a little bit differently than they do for Stetson Bennett, quarterback. Agree or no?
Yeah, I would agree with you that I mean, I don't know about you, Shannon. You've coached before. I still have a few questions about the Florida defense.
Oh, I have a lot of questions about the Florida defense. But, you know, I think, you know, I get texts from people during the game, Georgia's playing Mississippi State, and, you know, buddies of mine are saying, why are we playing zone? We ought to just blitz like crazy and, you know, pressure that quarterback. And I said, well, ask LSU what happens when you blitz Mike Leach. You know, it's not a good scheme. And you know, I think JT Daniels, he may be the answer at Georgia. I hope he is. I'm a Georgia fan. But, my gosh, let's not go out there and make him the second coming just because he had a good game against Mississippi State. It was scholarship depleted, and they jammed the box with 8 or 9 players and played man up on the edges. I mean, that's, you know, let's give it some time and see. You know, and
yeah,
Kirby,
I agree. I wasn't JT Daniels. I kind of didn't spend a lot of time on that game, but what I did, I didn't come away overly impressed with anyone.
Yeah, you know, and Kirby, you know, if he doesn't start JT Daniels, he's questioned, why aren't you playing him? So he does start him, and he has a decent game, and all of a sudden the question is, why hadn't you been playing him before? I mean, there's no right answer for some folks, you know?
Well, when you understand this, though, Shannon, when the expectations are at the Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson level, and you don't meet them, you are going to come under a barrage of criticism, and that's where Kirby Smart is right now.
And I understand that. But, you know, I look at the people at Tennessee that are so upset right now. They ran off Philip Fulmer. And look at what's happened since then. And then you take a situation like Bobby Bowden at Florida State. You know, they hired him in 76 at Florida State. It was 93 before he won his first national championship. It's like people want immediate results, immediate satisfaction. They don't want to give these cats any time to build a program or have faith that the coaches know what they're doing. You know, I can understand Kirby Smart getting upset at the press conference after the game when asked why he hadn't played him earlier. It's like, you know, these guys in the media, y'all aren't on the practice field. You aren't in the coach's office. You've got no idea what's going on, really. I think it's a good kid and a good game. And I was excited to see Georgia stretch the field and throw the ball. But let's be real. It was an understaffed Mississippi State team that had prepped probably to play a Stetson Bennett or DeJuan Mathis at quarterback. They weren't going to let Georgia beat them. And they said, hey, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us throwing the ball deep. And Georgia was able to complete some deep balls. And end of story. If the kid continues to be the answer we hope he is, Kirby's a genius.
Guy, hey, thanks for the call. Eddie is up next. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Paul. I can barely hear you, but roll down tight.
You got it.
Hey, you there, Paul?
I am here.
Hey, yeah, I just want to comment on hey, you got this Florida caller. I think he's a homer, but he's you know, he says that Alabama is the third best team in the West. That's no big deal. But you know, I'm looking forward to the Alabama and Florida matchup because I think Florida really underestimated the champions. All right, or what a champion is. Paul, they just like the rest of these callers that call in from different programs, thinking their team are better than what they really are. Florida has a good offense, but Bama has a great offense. And the difference between, Paul, good and great is balance. Florida, Florida's not physical enough for Alabama. All you got to do is look back at the last three games. By the time we get to the third quarter, all right, it's probably going to be a mauling. And definitely when we get to the fourth quarter. I can't even see how Harris is not going to have 200 rushing yards on those guys. All right, so And ball control, you know, that's going to establish the run, ball control, everything. All right? So I don't even know what Florida's talking about. We're going to be 3-touchdown favorites from here on out against everybody, Paul. And that's just the way it is, my man. In Saban, we trust. Roll damn Tide.
Yeah, Alabama is, a 24-point favorite this week against Auburn. The line was higher in 2012. I believe Alabama was about a 30-point favorite. And it was a disastrous result for Auburn. We're up against a break. More to come. Cecil Hurt will join us at the top of the hour. Tomorrow we'll head to Knoxville and get a pulse of that community after 5 straight double-digit losses for Jeremy Pruitt. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
And we welcome you back. Cecil Hurt will join us in the final hour to talk about this weekend's Iron Bowl and Alabama's rather quiet run for yet another national title. We'll talk to him coming up here shortly. Let's check in with Augie in New Orleans. Say hello, Augie. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. And happy Thanksgiving week. What a difference a couple of weeks have made in the future of Georgia. Not so long ago, we were talking about Georgia being in the college football playoff, and now they're celebrating a victory over Mississippi State, which I was really, Daniels had a great performance, but I was appalled at their running game. I mean, is Mississippi State's defense that good? Did you see that?
It has not been until now. I think the praise for Mississippi State and for Georgia is slightly exaggerated for this one game.
I agree, and I think of all things, isn't it a commentary, though, on Kirby Smart and his ability to manage the quarterback position? I mean, we got Justin Fields, and now we got this issue. I don't know about this one so much. But again, the Justin Fields.
Well, the only thing I'll say, Augie, in fairness to Kirby Smart, JT Daniels was supposed to be ready early on. And you know, I think you had an internal family feud going on there that, you know, Kirby Smart felt like he was ready. The doctors that JT Daniels used back in L.A. did not. So they had to wait. And it ended up probably costing Georgia a big year. Now, let me say this. If JT Daniels had started from day one, would Alabama have lost to Georgia? No. Would Florida have lost to Georgia? No.
No, not if Georgia's defense was that terrible. I mean, let's face it, a freshman quarterback who was playing high school football in Mississippi last year was having his way with that Georgia defense, which was supposed to be a strong point of the team, right?
Well, it was at one point. Some key injuries, and I'm not sure what else have derailed that. But yeah, I mean Georgia unfortunately has gone from hoping to win the title this year to being fired up after a win against Mississippi State, which has beaten nobody. Well, they beat LSU. I'm sorry.
Well, hey, and speaking of, I'm fired up that we beat Arkansas, which, again, if we played that game 5 times, we probably lose 5 straight times. But, hey, all that matters was we won Saturday, and I don't buy any of this officials won the game. We had some bad calls, too. We had some big plays called back. So if there were blown calls, there were blown calls all over the place. But, Paul, I want to ask you, what have you done to the people in New York? I mean, you have Frank, the King of Queens, who is like all over you because you have rehabilitated and gave absolution and communion to Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, I'm going to get my collar out of the closet here and come back and do the Mother Angelica hour. I don't know what's going on. I mean, we've had more calls tonight from New York than we have Alabama.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask you is, what have you done to stir up the people in New York? Ever since the guy who called in looking for the bagels, things have gone off track.
Yeah, no. Apparently, the local shows in New York must be struggling because they're all calling us.
Yeah, well, I mean, that proves there's no college football in New York. So you got to give the folks, you know.
Well, New York really right now.
They're not sure what they're looking at.
New York doesn't have anything going for it.
Texas A&M was the best team in the SEC, and Alabama was third.
Right.
Trust me, I'm the biggest hater of Alabama football there is, but you got to give the devil his due. there's nobody in the SEC that's going to beat Bama, and I'm not so sure there's anybody in the country that's going to beat them. Of course, they didn't look great against Kentucky in the first half, but who's going to get up for Kentucky? I mean, be real.
Sure. Hey, thanks, Augie. Appreciate the call. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark. Mark, you there? I feel like we're about to lift off here at Cape Canaveral. John is up next in St. Louis. Hey, John. John, you there?
How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. Happy holidays to you, by the way. Anyway, I think the Missouri-Arkansas game is going to be a very, very competitive game. You know, it's not obviously a top 25 action, but I think there's quite a bit at stake here in terms of personalities and integrity related to, obviously, Barry Odom. You know, he used to be coach at Missouri, and Drake is the new coach at there. So I think it's going to be a tough game. I know I've railed on Barry Odom quite a bit here this year and last year before Missouri terminated him, but I wouldn't be surprised if Barry pulls one here and shuts Missouri down. I think he wants to hang his hat on this game this year. So what's your feedback?
Yeah,
on
I would say, I mean, we've seen a couple of these. We saw the Chad Morris game, with Auburn, with Arkansas, and that was really decided by an official, not by Chad Morris, but. I think this one's pretty personal, and I would expect the Arkansas players to rise up here.
All right, thank you.
Besides that, I think Arkansas has a really good team. Shannon is up next. Hey, Shannon in Georgia, how are you?
Hey, Paul, how are you doing this afternoon?
We're doing well.
Paul, I just want to respond to your last guest who was talking about JT Daniels and what a great job he did, and how if he would have been starting quarterback against Florida, maybe Georgia beats Florida. And I think, you know, you got to be real careful about getting out over your skis with all these predictions you hear these experts make all the time. You know, the way to beat Georgia has been to stack the box and dare them to throw the ball deep. Fromm couldn't do it. They haven't had any deep threats. And the poor kid Stetson surely couldn't do it. And you know, you watch the game and you realize that Mississippi State just came in and they were pinning their ears back, daring Georgia to throw the ball. And, you know, luckily you had a kid that was able to throw the ball and complete some deep passes. And, you know, I think most of the big scores were on deep throws, you know. But I think if Florida knew that JT Daniels was going to be the quarterback, they would probably prepare a little bit differently than they do for Stetson Bennett quarterback. Agree or no?
Yeah, I would agree with you that I mean, I don't know about you, Shannon. You've coached before. I still have a few questions about the Florida defense.
Oh, I have a lot of questions about the Florida defense. But, you know, I think, you know, I get texts from people during the game, Georgia's playing Mississippi State, and, you know, buddies of mine are saying, why are we playing zone? We ought to just blitz like crazy and, you know, pressure that quarterback. And I said, well, ask LSU what happens when you blitz Mike Leach. You know, it's not a good scheme. And you know, I think JT Daniels, he may be the answer at Georgia. I hope he is. I'm a Georgia fan. But, my gosh, let's not go out there and make him the second coming just because he had a good game against Mississippi State. It was scholarship depleted, and they jammed the box with eight or nine players and played man up on the edges. I mean, that's, you know, let's give it some time and see. You know, and
yeah,
Kirby,
I agree. I wasn't. I kind of didn't spend a lot of time on that game, but what I did, I didn't come away overly impressed with anyone.
Yeah, you know, and Kirby, you know, if he doesn't start JT Daniels, he's questioned, why aren't you playing him? So he does start him, and he has a decent game, and all of a sudden the question is, why hadn't you been playing him before? I mean, there's no right answer for some folks, you know.
Well, when you understand this, though, Shannon, when the expectations are at the Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson level, and you don't meet them, you are going to come under a barrage of criticism, and that's where Kirby Smart is right now.
And I understand that. But, you know, I look at the people at Tennessee that are so upset right now. They ran off Philip Fulmer, and look at what's happened since then. And then you take a situation like Bobby Bowden at Florida State. You know, they hired him in 76 at Florida State. It was 93 before he won his first national championship. It's like people want immediate results, immediate satisfaction. They don't want to give these cats any time to build a program or have faith that the coaches know what they're doing. You know, I can understand Kirby Smart getting upset at the press conference after the game when asked why he hadn't played him earlier. It's like, you know, these guys in the media, y'all aren't on the practice field. You aren't in the coach's office. You've got no idea what's going on, really. I think it's a good kid and a good game, and I was excited to see Georgia stretch the field and throw the ball, but let's be real. It was an understaffed Mississippi State team that had prepped probably to play a Stetson Bennett or DeJuan Mathis at quarterback. They weren't going to let Georgia beat them, and they said, hey, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us throwing the ball deep. And Georgia was able to complete some deep balls. And end of story. If the kid continues to be the answer we hope he is, Kirby's a genius.
Guy, hey, thanks for the call. Eddie is up next. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Paul. I can barely hear you, but roll down tight.
You got it.
Hey, you there, Paul?
I am here.
Hey, yeah, I just want to comment on hey, you got this Florida caller. I think he's a homer, but he's you know, he says that Alabama is the third best team in the West. That's no big deal. But I'm looking forward to the Alabama and Florida matchup because I think Florida really underestimated the champions. All right, or what a champion is. Paul, they just like the rest of these callers that call in from different programs, thinking their team are better than what they really are. Florida has a good offense, but Bama has a great offense. And the difference between, Paul, good and great is balance. Florida, Florida's not physical enough for Alabama. All you got to do is look back at the last three games. By the time we get to the third quarter, all right, it's probably going to be a mauling, and definitely when we get to the fourth quarter. I can't even see how Harris is not going to have 200 rushing yards on those guys. All right, so and ball control, you know, that's going to establish the run, ball control, everything. All right, so I don't even know what Florida's talking about. We're going to be three touchdown favorites from here on out against everybody, Paul. And that's just the way it is, my man. In Saban, we trust. No damn time.
Yeah, Alabama is a 24-point favorite this week against Auburn. The line was higher in 2012, I believe Alabama was about a 30-point favorite, and it was a disastrous result for Auburn. We're up against a break. More to come. Cecil Hurt will join us at the top of the hour. Tomorrow we'll head to Knoxville and get a pulse of that community after five straight double-digit losses for Jeremy Pruitt. We are coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.